Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. If you're a regular listener to the Minister's Friend, you've heard me say that there are three things that concern me about most American churches today. People don't read their Bibles consistently anymore. People don't make disciples as they should, and people in our churches today have all but stopped practicing intercessory prayer. For the last 8 years, I have had the privilege to help local congregations launch intercessory prayer movements within their local bodies. Some of these movements have really borne incredible fruit as people once again learn to stand in the gap on behalf of their local communities. Intercession helps a church become vitally other-oriented, giving them a greater heart for the lost who live all around them. Today, we begin a short 3-part series on intercessory prayer. It's critical that the people in our pews become intentional and persistent in this kind of prayer once again. What follows is the first part of a message I preached last year to my own congregation as we were preparing to work through the intercessory prayer seminar that I teach. The message lays a good foundation for the full seminar, kind of a biblical theology, if you will, for the congregation to get its footing. I'll talk more about the seminar in a bit, but for now, grab some paper and a pencil, and let's hear about one of the world's intercessory prayer heroes, Rhys Howells. Our scripture reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, 23 through 31. And we're reading from the New Living Translation this morning. As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. Oh, sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth and the sea and everything that is in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. Rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel are all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they preached the word of God with boldness. Think about that scripture. They said to the Lord, take a look at what all of the enemies of Jesus are doing to us, and then match it in us with boldness, right? Make us bold. They didn't wah, wah, wah about it. Oh, make them stop, make them stop. No, instead they said, you see what they're doing. This is fulfilling Scripture, God. We understand that. So make us bold enough to match the task. And as they prayed, it says that the room was shaken where they were. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and they preached with boldness. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this is a different kind of a sermon today. And quite frankly, our environment is a bit different, not only because we're back in the Y, but because of the power failure. There's a lot of distractions. And I think, Lord, that part of that may actually be the enemy that's trying to prevent this from being clear and understood because these principles make him shake in his boots. And so, Father, I would pray right now in the name of Jesus that the sound system, the video system, everything would work. Lord, I'd even be so bold as to say maybe during the sermon the lights had come on. Quiet those who came in with baggage on their hearts, Lord. Help the children to enjoy this time in the room with us quietly and at peace. And Father, draw us near to your heart as we learn how to pray. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many of you have heard of Rhys Howells? Nobody. Well, let me introduce you to Rhys Howells. Rhys Howells was born in 1879, the son of a coal miner in Wales. Rhys grew up in a very common neighborhood, common environment. His parents loved him. They weren't particularly religious. They were fairly nominal. But his grandparents had been saved in the Welsh Revival in 1859, and they were on fire. And Rhys, even as a kid, would say to his mom and dad, "I love going to visit Grandma and Grandpa." They lived in the Black Mountains there. And he said, "I love going there because it's like every time I go in their house, it's like going into heaven." What a statement, huh? Well, why was that? Because it was like going into heaven. And so their impact on him was very profound. By the way, that Welsh Revival in 1859 saw over 100,000 people come to Christ. So it was a big deal. Rhys loved visiting them. Their influence on him was very important as God would begin to form a call on him, even at his very young age. After he moved to the U.S. to work with his cousin as a young adult, shortly thereafter, he contracted typhoid fever. And even though he was already a believer, a relatively young believer, he was terrified of death. And he prayed. He said, "Lord, if you let me survive, I will give my life fully to you for the rest of my days." And guess what happened? He survived, and thankfully, he made good on his promise. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, profoundly anointed by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, listening to the preaching ministry of a converted Jew from Pittsburgh who knew Jesus. The Holy Spirit took such full hold of his life that one by one in those early years, every time he'd come across a temptation, he would pray for it to be removed, that he wouldn't be tempted by it anymore. And by his own biography or autobiography, we learned that those temptations went away and he was not tempted by those things anymore. Through a series of healing encounters, some of them incredible healing encounters, where Rhys Howells was the person praying for the healing, the Lord drew him in deeper and deeper into this intercessory prayer ministry, and he would spend days, he would look at what happened because of prayer, and then he'd search the scriptures to find out why it happened, and he would learn from what the scriptures say about intercessory prayer, and then he would go back and he would practice it with the next person, and there would be another miracle, and he'd say, "Well, I didn't expect that," and he'd go back to the Word of God, and he'd read again to find out where that was. And self-taught, he became truly a biblical expert on intercessory prayer and miracles. There is so much that we can say about his life and ministry, but I want to leave you in this introduction time with this idea. There are many people, across Britain especially, that attribute the turn in World War II, where Hitler began to be defeated, they attribute that to Rhys Howells and his intercessory prayer group. Let me read to you one account. As news of Hitler's advance came over the radio and in the newspapers each day, Rhys and his company of intercessors would press into prayer for God's purposes to prevail. Royal Air Force pilots were outnumbered 4-1 at the beginning of the Battle of Britain. On all accounts, it should have been a losing battle. However, when the Nazi advance was mysteriously turned away, right when all hope was lost, Winston Churchill proclaimed,
of a small group of pilots that maintained their air supremacy, never has so much been owed to, by so many to so few. Well, those words really ought to inspire us today for those who are contending in prayer for spiritual air supremacy, standing in victory, the victory of the cross of Christ, like Rhys Howells and his company were for Europe in that day.
Intercessory prayer works. The testimony of Rhys Howells' life and ministry is but one shining example. I've seen such prayer bring a beautiful divine impact on neighborhoods and towns. I've also seen how consistent intercession transforms the heart of a congregation, leading them to truly love their lost friends and neighbors, opening up many opportunities for the gospel. In my own congregation, we have seen the fruit of intercession in many places, not the least of which is meeting persons of peace in various ministry venues who have then opened up their circles of friends and colleagues for us to minister. It's quite exciting. How does your church do with intercessory prayer? Most churches have prayer warriors, and we should praise God for them because without them, we'd be completely fruitless. But what I'm asking is about the intercessory prayer of your congregation at large. Is yours a praying church? Does your flock get on their knees before the Father on behalf of your neighborhood, your town, or your city? Does your congregation know how to pray intelligently and effectively about the real needs and the real crises of your neighbors? Most churches have to say no, and that's a heartbreak. Our seminar, Launching an Intercessory Prayer Movement in Your Church, has been taught nationally and locally many times with great impact. More than one virtually prayerless church has seen intercession leadership raised up and the congregation make such prayer a priority. Interested in knowing more? Contact us here at The Minister's Friend and we'll tell you all about it. You can email us here at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. Next week, we'll clearly define what we mean by intercessory prayer and how it's different than other kinds of prayer described in the Bible. And we've also got some great things in store over the next several weeks. We're going to be delving into a passion of mine, disciple making. We're going to talk about local church health and how to improve it. And we've got some other neat stuff planned as well. All that's coming up on the Minister's Friend podcast. You don't want to miss it. I'm so grateful that you're in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders like you lead their congregations well. If you're blessed by this podcast ministry, would you please tell others about us? Your recommendation to your friends, other pastors, and church leaders is the best advertising we could ever ask for. Please also take a moment and give us a review on whatever platform you use to listen to the podcast. Good reviews and good ratings by our audience move us up in the charts, and it actually enables us to connect with more people who might be blessed by our ministry. I'm so glad you are with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author John Kimble. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimble.com. That's podcast@johnrkimble.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!